I am saving you the trouble of further embarrassing yourself with all the Nissa Nissa banter poo-doo. Just don't. But how many Gungans have you met?
Like...
Hans started counting on his fingers.
I've actually spoken to...
About 7?
Okay, so we'll round to 1.
Hans' collar was tight. He stuck a finger in, prying it away from his neck.
Probably accurate.
And based on that one interaction with one Gungan, plus whatever nonsense you've heard about us out in the galaxy, which, let's be honest, is mostly garbage, you feel that you have a real grasp on who the Gungans are as a species.
No, I...
Exactly!
Aro slammed the desk triumphantly. He seemed to be enjoying himself.
And yet you're ready to walk up to a random Gungan you've never met and start in with a Nissa Nissas! Bro, save it. Trust me.
I thought...
You thought? And that's where you messed up. You thought!
The Gungan shook his head, disappointed.
But did you ask?
How could I, when...
Aro narrowed his eyes and ran 3 fingers down his long snout pensively.
You 2 gentlemen look like you might be interested in investing in some property.
Han blinked at him.
On a prison planet?
One?
Aro held up a single finger.
It's a moon. 2?
And another...
It's mostly been evacuated, or haven't you heard? And still, it's about to be a war zone, and everyone knows post-conflict areas are a buyer's market. Get me?
Chewie growled.
I mean, look at the housing explosion on Naboo, post-trade fed conflict. No pun intended. Ha! It's been, what, 30 years, and I still can't find a flat. Why do you think I'm on this damn moon? Anyway, invest now. Thank me later, right?
Aren't you a security guard?
Can I tell you a secret?
Aro whispered. Han looked iffy.
I hate this job. Hate it. I hate the creepy Imperial slobbering security force guys that run the place. I hate the idea of making a whole moon a prison. I literally get a rash on the back of my neck when I just think about coming to work.
Okay, that's...
And anyway, gotta have a long game, though, you know? Otherwise, what's the point of these big old ice stocks?
The Gungan erupted into a squeaky chuckle, then sighed.
But, yeah, how can I help you?
We...
Han's whole cover story slipped right out of his head.
Fazine!
Peekpa yipped. Aro cocked an eyebrow at her.
Oh, really?
Peekpa went into a lengthy explanation that Han could only hope made sense and didn't completely blow their cover. He looked at Chewie, who just stood there nodding sagely.
Oh, say no more,
Aro said suddenly.
I completely understand. And may I say, Miss Peekpa, thank you for all you do. It's an honor to meet you, sincerely. If you would just follow me, I will escort you to the area you will need to be in to facilitate this research.
The Gungan marched off down a corridor. Ewok scrambling along in his wake. Han and Chewie exchanged a puzzled glance, shrugged, and followed along.
Han.
The Millennium Falcon, about 10 years ago. Han and Chewie sat across from each other at the Dejarik board, waiting for Sana to come back with whatever ace in the hole she thought she had. Think she likes me? Han asked, idly maneuvering the hulking Kintan strider across the squares. Chewie shook his head and released a growl of extreme fed-upness. Han looked shocked. Really? Not even a little? The strider picked up Chewie's gack and easily thrashed it, then tore it to pieces. Chewie got up in Han's face and let out four short snarls. Okay, fine, Han said. Not even a little. That's your opinion, and you're welcome to it. I, on the other hand, think maybe she's kind of into me. Chewie put his face into his hands and groaned. All right, boys, Sana said, walking back in with the package she'd been cradling when she barged through Maz's place earlier. You ready for this? Probably not, Han said, clicking off the Dejarik board. All the tiny snarling hollows disappeared. Sana placed the package on the table. A muffled yelp could be heard from inside, along with furious knocking. Chewie stood up and stepped back, eyes narrowed. Han gaped. What's in there? He's a who, not a what, Sana said, and it's Mosin Parappa, head of the Parappa cartel. She opened the lid. A tiny gray-green creature with a wide head, big yellow eyes, and long skinny arms blinked up at them.
Fasana Mokax!
It yelped in a high-pitched squeal. Chewie barked. That's Mosin Parappa?
The one and only,
Mosin snarled.
And I would advise you to let me free this instant.
Ah, Han said. Mr. Parappa, we mean you no disrespect. We simply...
No disrespect?
The tiny gangster put all four fists on his hips and chortled mightily.
I am literally in a box, you bug-wing lowlife.
Han looked at Sana with a mix of horror and awe. You kidnapped the crime lord Mosin Parappa and brought him on my ship. And you didn't tell me? Sana batted her eyelashes. Kidnapped is such a strong word. Mosin spun around, saw Sana, gasped. Borrowed? Sana suggested. I like borrowed.
Mademoiselle Bella la Galaxina Sabine!
Mosin crooned with an elegant bow.
I was also worried that they captured you too, my bell.
Han blinked at Sana. My bell. Thank you, Mr. Parappa, Sana said. I am safe, fortunately. But we still need the information I was asking about on our... when we met up.
On our date?
Mosin pronounced.
The little beelbubs are singing their small songs of the night, yes? The lovely symphony of the Takodana forests. And some wine and a beautiful woman.
It was lovely, yes. However...
No!
Mosin insisted.
Not a just a beautiful woman. No. The.
He shoved a long finger up at Sana.
A most. A beautiful. A woman.
He glanced around at Han and Chewie as if to confirm.
In the galaxy.
Chewie and Han both rolled their eyes and groaned. That's very sweet, Sana said. Can we... Han started. Mosin spun to face him.
You kidnapped the me and my bell, and here we are on your spaceship. You don't get to interrupt. Clear, you rat monkey dirt!
Hey, Sana snapped. No need to be rude. He didn't kidnap us, he's my partner. We had to get out of there safely because the bounty hunters attacked. We just need to know where your people's last read on the phalanx was, and then you can be on your way. This is insanity, Han said.
And what makes you think we know where this phalanx is?
The Parappa cartel tech lords are supposed to be second to none, Sana said. Surely you'd been tracking it.
Ah, well.
Mosin acknowledged the compliment with a magnanimous shrug.
This, I suppose, is the truth, yes. But why then? For should I tell Ayua?
He pointed a tiny finger at Han. Han smiled. Because you're in a box, Mr. Parappa, and no one knows we have you except the Empire, and they don't care.
Half-wit! You have no idea what...
Chewie, Han said. Open the airlock. Chewie stood.
I!
Mosin yelped.
Yes, the information, yes. And what will you give to the me for this?
Besides not airlocking you, Han said.
Something that would make me less compelled to hunt you and this Awoki down and destroy everything you love when this is over. Yes?
Oh, that, Han said. None of this is good, Sana muttered.
Correct,
Mosin announced. Sana glared at Han. A word? But of course. Chewie, watch him, please. Chewie grumbled. We gotta show a unified front, Sana chided as soon as they'd turned into the corridor leading to the cockpit. You're not so good at that. I'm better at being unified when the person I'm supposed to be unified with lets me know what the plan is before they kidnap tiny, super-powerful crime lords and bring them on my ship. Han. I thought we were doing a good cop, bad cop thing, no? Han, do you have any idea what the Parappa cartel will do to us if... And how would they know, Sana? None of this is traceable. You said it yourself. The Empire knows exactly who has Mosin. I would imagine that information is about to become very, very valuable, if it isn't already. Do you really think they'll keep their big Imperial mouths shut? Well, what do you want me to do? We all already have prices on our heads. What's a few more credits on there? Especially if it gets us the info we need. Look, you're bringing more trouble than any of us asked for. And coming from me, that's saying a lot. Let's just take it down a notch, okay, Han? She headed back to the main compartment, shutting down any rebuttal he might have. Imagine! This woman was even more reckless than Han was. It was pretty attractive, he had to admit. If they made it out of this alive, it would be anyway. Mr. Parappa, Sana said. The tiny gangster looked up, eyes narrowed.
Hmm?
Wherever you tell us this last tracked location of the Phalanx is, I'm sure you have your guys there already, yes? Mosin shrugged.
What chaps?
We will bring you there, deliver you to your crew.
I am listening.
And?
And 15s of the percent of the Phalanx bounty if you find it.
3%. Sana said before Han could speak. Mosin turned up his chin.
10.
5.
7. Final offer.
Done. Chewie growled and Han exhaled.
My tech masters tracked this signal to Free Ruggles.
Chewie leaned forward, mouth slightly open. The diner orbiting Hosnian Prime? Han asked. That seems random. Whoever has the Phalanx must be holed up there to keep a low profile and plot their next move, Sana said. We can stake it out in shifts. Chewie roared enthusiastically. Not that kind of stake, Chewie, Han snapped. Is that all you think about? Sana rubbed her eyes. Oh, boy. You make a good point, though. Free Rago's sirloin cuts are second to none. He looked at Sana, who was already rolling her eyes. All right, we're in.
Substation Grimdark. Now.
Fingers, Aro said to no one in particular. The Nabbers still don't really know anything about us Gungans, if we're being honest. I mean, yay, peace treaty and all that. We kicked out the Evil Trade Federation, but still, here we are, almost 40 years later, and still a totally divided world, except for a few notable exceptions, and they're annoying, to be frank. Blah, 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 unity, you know?
They walked in single file down a narrow corridor. No one seemed to know who the Gungan was talking to, so no one bothered answering. Peekpa asked.
Should be just around this corner, Aro said. Han looked back at Chewie, who shrugged.
There was no way to know if they were being led into a trap, but even if they were, there wasn't much they could do about it at this point.
Behold!
Aro announced, opening a door and escorting everyone inside.
The Grimdark Archive.
Wow,
Han said. It was simply a gray, empty room with an input port at the far wall.
Go to town, Aro said. I'll be down the hall if you need anything.
And then he was gone. Peekpa took a small keyboard out of her leather pouch and plugged it into the port, then pulled a pair of visogoggles over her fuzzy face and whispered what sounded like a prayer.
Let's hope she's as good as Kyle said she was,
Han muttered. The Ewok clacked away for a few minutes, then turned to Han.
Yes, Han said. Phylanx Redux Transmitter is what we're looking for info about.
Peekpa said with a satisfied nod. She turned back to her keyboard.
And Fizan Gore. He was a prisoner here. Or still is.
Peekpa said again, clacking away. Chewie and Han exchanged a look. A few seconds later, red lights pulsed in the corridor outside.
Oh, boy, Han said. That can't be good.
He and Chewie drew their weapons.
You almost done, Peekpa?
Peekpa chirped.
Great, Han said. Appreciate the update.
Chewie glanced out into the hallway, roared a curious,
Hmm?
The Gungan, Han said. What does he want?
Aro and Kukula strode down the hallway with both hands up in the air.
A common peace and all that, he said, turning into the room and closing the door behind him.
He tapped a combination on the keypad beside the door, and the red light stopped pulsing.
So...
Spit it out, Han said.
Turns out you all were after something a little more interesting than a routine inspection.
I have no idea what you're talking about, Han said.
Sure, buddy. Your Ewok here triggered a high-security breach protocol.
Way to go, Peekpa.
Without taking her eyes off the datapad, Peekpa launched into a squeaky tirade in reply. Aro shook his head.
And now there's a team of fully armed CEFCON goons asking a bunch of questions over at the front desk, and they look mad.
What are CEFCONs? Han asked.
Peekpa broke off her curses and switched suddenly into a more teacherly voice.
Chuba, Chuba, Private Security Force!
Chewie howled, and Han grimaced.
Great.
Yes, they're extremely unpleasant, Aro added. Former Elite Assault Team stormtroopers, the lot of them.
What? Didn't...
Meganon granted them a general amnesty after Jakku and hired them. They've been irritating me ever since.
Han glanced at Chewie.
This'll be just like old times then, huh?
Hopefully we can avoid a situation where you have to blast your way out of here,
Aro said calmly.
I am, after all, responsible for the security of all the entities in Administrative Sector 7C of Grimdark. And that includes you lot. Allow me to see what I can do.
Han shot the Gungan a sideways glance.
All right, Aro. But if this starts to smell trap-like, you'll be the first to know by way of a blaster shot. Clear?
Aro rolled his eyes.
Abundantly.
Loud bootsteps clomped toward them as Aro slipped back into the corridor and closed the door.
None of this is good.
Han whispered.
Wrap it up, Peekpa.
Peekpa grumbled irritably.
Gentle beings,
Aro could be heard saying on the other side of the door.
It seems there's been a terrible misunderstanding.
Lock it up, Misa Misa, and get out of the way!
A gruff voice responded.
Actually, no,
the Gungan replied.
How about you lock it up?
It sounded like a sincere question, but then blaster fire rang out in the corridor, and a SEFCON guy screamed. Han cocked his head at Chewie. The Wookiee shrugged.
What are you?
Another voice yelled before more blaster fire erupted. And then more, as another yell came from farther away. Han and Chewie aimed at the door as it opened. R.O.'s smiling face appeared.
I've been waiting to do that for a long time.
You said...
Han started.
I said hopefully we can avoid a situation where you have to blast your way out of here. Didn't say anything about avoiding one where I'd blast my way out.
Thanks.
The Gungan waved his hand.
Nothing. Well, just drop me off with one of the NR ships hovering off base and we'll be straight. Oh, and we should probably make tracks. I tried to blast them all before those could send a distress transmission, but you know how these slow-to-die troopers love getting off one last message before they croak.
Peekba squealed triumphantly. She unplugged the data pad, whirled around to Han, Chewie, and Aro, and took an elaborate bow. The telltale clink, clink of a thermal detonator echoed in the corridor outside.
Get down!
Han yelled, throwing himself to the far corner. Aro barrel rolled in, slamming the door just as a huge explosion rocked the hallway. Blaster shots sounded.
What did I tell you?
Aro said, shaking his head.
There's always more of them.
He drew his blaster and shucked it into ready position.
Chewie, Han said. Grab Peekba. We're gonna have to move fast. And those adorable little Ewok legs aren't gonna cut it.
Peekba opened another stream of curses, but got quiet when the Wookiee tucked her under his big furry arm. She muttered contentedly.
Han looked at his motley crew.
Let's move!
Lando. Masulan remnants, about 15 years ago.
I don't like any of this,
Lando said. L3 just watched silently as the Millennium Falcon flew a slow, graceful trajectory out from behind the ice asteroid toward the single hovering TIE fighter. Behind the TIE, the strange metal chamber floated like a rusty, deactivated satellite.
Freighter?
A scratchy voice demanded over the comm.
Identify yourself and state your business, or you'll be destroyed.
Just a little closer, Lando snarled. Come on.
We are the Millennium Falcon,
L3 said into the comm.
On a routine shipping run. We seem to have run slightly off course.
Seems so,
came the gruff reply.
Turn around and be on your way instantly. This is a restricted sector.
We are simply proceeding to our next destination,
L3 said as they slid closer and closer.
There's no need to get testy.
Testy? Why, you...
The TIE is in range,
L3 said.
Wait,
the scratchy voice demanded.
What?
Lando opened fire, clipping the TIE's left wing, then blasting another shot directly into its cockpit. The ship exploded, sending debris scattering across the icy moon shards.
Nice shooting,
L3 commented.
Yeah, Lando grunted. Don't try to butter me up now just because I'm going along with this madcap mission that you still won't explain to me.
That circular port on the chamber looks like we could dock on it.
Lando maneuvered through the smoking remnants of the TIE and pulled up close to the chamber.
After this is over, if we survive, I'm taking a month-long R&R at some luxury resort on Raysol Prime. And you're not invited, L3.
Wow. Imagine how hurt I am.
The airlock did indeed fit perfectly with the chamber's portway. Lando stood, drew his blaster, and headed down the corridor, L3 zipping along behind him.
And if we don't survive, he continued, I will never forgive you.
Noted. I'll add it to the list, sir.
In the main hold of the Falcon, Lando turned left into the sleeping quarters. Be right there.
Wait! This is no time for a nap! Where are you going?
Lando had already slid open the door of his cape closet and whipped off the yellow and maroon one he'd been wearing, replacing it gently on the hanger. A kaleidoscope of colors and textures shone back at him, the most peaceful image he knew.
Lando?
The red one. That would perfectly contrast with his light blue shirt. And its inner lining was a velvety mauve, which was subtle, but still fierce.
Lando! We don't have time for...
I'm coming! Lando slid the closet door shut and whirled around, the cape flying up and settling back against his body just right. He sighed with satisfaction.
All right, let's move.
One day,
L3 muttered as they hurried back across the Falcon.
I swear.
They stepped through the airlock into a dank, creaking room cluttered with inanimate, shadowy forms.
Droids, Lando said as L3 gasped. Deactivated from the look of it.
Not just deactivated.
L3 whirred past him, her eye light turned up to cast a stark glare over the macabre scene.
Dismembered.
Droid parts hung from the ceiling, dangled from the walls, lay scattered across the floor. Lando crinkled his nose.
And not just droids from the smell of it.
The air was thick, with a heavy, musky scent combined with the tang of blood.
There.
Lando pointed to the center of the room, where something viscous dripped from what appeared to be an operating table. Or maybe a torture device. He shuddered.
That's fresh from the look of it.
This is a massacre,
L3 stuttered, her illuminated gaze casting long, ghoulish shadows across the cluttered walls.
A slow-motion massacre.
Lando wasn't sure if L3 was capable of being traumatized, but if anything would do it, witnessing this horror show would be a top contender. He wasn't ready to leave, though. Whatever maniac had done this, he wanted nothing to do with, for sure, but part of him also knew whoever they were, they had to be stopped. You okay? Lando asked, looking over the bloodied table to where L3 stood staring at a crumbling pile of demolished astromechs. L3 didn't answer, just kept scanning the remains.
Isn't this one of those old separatist battle droids? Lando said, lifting up a rusty, beaked head with its eyes torn out.
L3 paid him no mind, just kept looking.
Are we looking for something?
Lando asked, but before L3 could answer, if she was even planning to, which seemed unlikely, he noticed a data pad on the wall between two blaster-burnt metal torsos.
Is that a door keypad? Lando said out loud.
He pushed the top button, and sure enough, a clunky whirr sounded, and then a whole section of the wall slid to the side with a squeak.
Well, well, Lando started, feeling pleased with himself. But then the wave of stench hit him. What is that?
It smelled like the armpits of 100 dead banthas bathing in spoiled bantha milk. But worse. And opening that door had unleashed all of its wretchedness into the already musty chamber.
I can't.
Lando blinked, trying to see through his watering eyes.
Great stars! This is... L...
I have deactivated my olfactory sensors,
L3 advised him.
So, as you say, can't relate.
How convenient for you. Meanwhile, I might not make it. But what's it coming from?
Lando covered his nose and peered into the dimly lit room beyond the door. About a dozen bodies lay in a pile in the center of the room. He couldn't make out much, but they appeared to be a variety of species and, like the droids, they'd all had body parts hacked off.
I've seen enough,
Lando announced, hitting the close button on the door panel. And smelled more than enough. Can we get out of here?
Found him,
L3 yelled. Who him? Lando whirled around to where L3 was standing over the pile of protocol droids.
D9,
L3 said. She bent to a squat and reached in to toggle something on one of the dilapidated steel bodies.
Should be right here.
Two orange mechanical eyes lit up, and the droid burped nonsensical jarble, head spinning in a slow circle.
Murder!
It droned in a shrill whisper.
D9, tell me what happened. I got your transmission. Where is he?
No! Stop! Anyone but them! No!
D9 sputtered.
There's another...
Another what? Lando said. D, another what?
Another spy in the chamber.
D9 gasped.
Astromech, the silver one there. An Imperial plant. Also watching.
Lando spun around and scanned the pile of astromechs. Most were so filthy and bloodstained it was impossible to tell what color they were, but a glint of silver flashed out at Lando from between two others. He cleared them out of the way and got a closer look. This one, D9? This one's been talking to the Empire? A soft whir came from the droid when Lando put his hand on it. Then a tiny compartment opened with a sharp fizz. Lando jumped back and let off two shots. Both smashed into the astromech, which let out a screaming bleep, and then collapsed.
Affirmative,
D9 said. What did you learn, D9? L3 asked.
Murder.
The droid moaned again.
Massacre.
We can see that much, Lando said, trying to contain the frustration in his voice. L3 placed her metallic hand on his arm, something between shush and a calm down. It was easy to be calm in a rotting meat locker when you didn't have a nose. Then again, it wasn't Lando's kin, or whatever droids considered one another, whose body parts were scattered all around them. And L3 took that droid solidarity stuff real serious. Probably Lando should be the one placing the calming hand on her shoulder.
Who was it, D9?
L3 said.
Who did this?
Not who. That matters. What he's building.
What's he building?
The Phalanx. Get the codes. L3. Get the operating codes. He has the Phalanx with him.
L3 nodded once as the droid's voice sputtered into nonsensical beeps. Then she turned to Lando.
We have to catch up with whoever that was. Now.
She sped out of the room.
L3!
Lando called, running after her.
What's going on?
Substation Grimdock. Now. Lando laced his fingers on the pillows behind his head and tried to pretend he wasn't in some dingy transport sleeping barracks. Because otherwise, this moment was perfection. Kasha's cheek lay on his bare chest. Her mouth was open, and she was snoring ever so slightly, and a bit of drool had slipped out, which normally might be icky, but somehow seemed charming. Because Kasha. Which meant trouble. That was a sure sign of trouble. And that particular kind of trouble was generally what would throw a shadow on a sweet moment like this. That was the kind of trouble that hinted at long, drawn-out conversations, or maybe sudden, unexplained disappearances, followed by that roiling sense of what if. That was the kind of trouble that functioned in the future tense, and somehow ripped its way right through to the present tense to wreak havoc there, too. But right now, Lando knew only peace. Sure, there were a million what-ifs, and sure, any of them could rear its ugly head at any moment, come thumping through the door, an uninvited guest, and it could all go to hell in the blink of an eye. But Lando had lived through the war years, and he'd survived the never-ending mini-wars of being a smuggler before that, and so had Kasha, for that matter. So maybe a little uncertainty, a little peace and quiet, wasn't such a bad thing. And anyway, they lay on a hard mattress in a dim, grungy barracks, much as they had years ago when they'd first met. And no amount of overthinking could change that truth. So, might as well enjoy what there was to be enjoyed, right? And right now, Lando was particularly enjoying the way Kasha's light blue back stretched and curved beneath her darker blue leku. The sweet song of her hips insinuated beneath the brittle, ugly green regulation sheets. The feeling of her weight against his torso. It had terrified him the first time this happened, that night on Passa Novo. That was the truth of it. He'd felt that certainty, felt it in his gut. And it was worse than staring down 100 blasters. Worse than flying the Falcon directly into the heart of the Imperial war machine. Worse than any high-stakes gamble he'd ever made. It was very simple. He wasn't ready. Not for all that, whatever it was, defied language. And if Lando couldn't explain it, couldn't even name it, how was he supposed to manage it in any reasonable way? What kind of risk assessment could be done on a thing that exceeded even language? None. That's what kind. So when the sun had come up after that first night, Lando had made sure Kasha had no delusions that this would be bigger than it was. He hadn't said it outright, of course. That wasn't his way. Nor was it necessary. And he was never cold. He'd have sooner set himself on fire than show a hint of rudeness to Kasha. But he kept that wall thrown up high. Never opened up. Never really let her in. And could he be mad that she took the hint? A million conversations seemed to have happened without a word exchanged. And here they were, confused, content, complicated. Anyway, he hadn't been ready then. But now, he released one hand from behind his head and went to caress one of her leku. "You know," Kasha said. Lando's hand froze in the air above her. "Men have lost hands for touching those without permission."
Lando didn't move. "Is that a fact?"
Kasha still lay with her eyes closed. Lando felt her lips curl into a slight smile against his chest.
"It is something approaching the sacred, really. A vital part of our identity."
Lando hummed, enjoying the feeling of his voice vibrating against her cheek.
"For the Twi'leks, the caressing of the leku is an act that is beyond mere sensuality."
"Go on," Lando said, hand still hanging in the air, just above the two thick strands lying across Kasha's back.
"I have said what I needed to say."
For a moment they remained there, perfectly still, except for the rise and fall of their breath. Then, very slowly, Kasha raised her head ever so slightly, so her leku brushed up against the skin of Lando's hand, and craned her neck forward.
Run!
Han yelled, letting loose with both blasters at the burly, purple-armored Zepcon troopers barreling down the corridor toward him. Chewie growled, let off two more explosive bursts from his bowcaster, and took off. Blaster fire screamed through the air, smacked charred, smoking craters in the walls around them. Two troopers collapsed beneath Han and Chewie's barrage of fire, and a third clutched his arm and howled. A whole other squad raced up behind them, though, and one of them had some kind of launcher mounted on his shoulder.
Go, go, go!
Han yelled, and sprinted around the corner just as a horrific shriek rang out, and then an explosion tore through the wall where they'd just been standing.
Keep going!
Up ahead, Peekpa was straddling Aro's shoulders, punching away frantically at her data pad. Han had no idea what she could possibly be typing, but it didn't really matter as long as she stayed out of the way. Aro looked up and down the corridor, eyes squinted, and then nodded to himself and yelled,
"This way! I hope!"
Han had to pause to fire off a few shots as the troopers rounded the corner.
"He knows what he's doing."
Chewie added.
"Yeah, and that he's trustworthy,"
Han agreed.
"If we keep going along this corridor,"
Aro yelled back at them over the screech of blaster fire,
"we should come out at a side entrance, and then we can..."
Han was jogging backward, picking off troopers as they emerged from the smoky hallway. He turned.
Oh, boy.
A second squad of Zepcon guards had bustled around the corner up ahead. These had some kind of snarling beasts on chains.
"It's the Foro Snag Attack Battalion,"
Aro said, shaking his head.
"It's a wrap. Those things are..."
He raised his hands in defeat.
"Let's just say they're not here for the mental health benefits."
The Foro Snags leaned forward, long, muscular arms reaching down from spiky shoulders. Shorter, slithery-fingered mid-arms struck out from their flabby torsos. Six rows of teeth lined their wide, slobbery mouths. Han and Chewie opened fire, but the beasts didn't even flinch. Instead, they leapt up toward the barrage of lasers screeching at them, and opened their huge mouths even wider.
"What the..."
Han yelled, as the blaster fire all vanished down their gullets. Aro was still shaking his head.
"Told ya. It's a wrap. They literally eat blaster fire. It's like candy to them."
"What kind of..."
Han started to growl, but Chewie cut him off with a roar. The Foro Snag Keepers had released their beasts, and all six were tearing down the corridor toward them in jolty hops.
"Go!"
Han yelled.
"Back the way we came!"
"But the..."
Aro said, jogging past him as the snarls and bounding paw thumps got louder.
"At least we can blast them,"
Han said, already letting loose some shots toward the approaching troopers.
"Go!"
"Sakatotashi!"
Peekpa yelled from Aro's shoulders. She had been clacking away all this time, Han noticed, and now she hit a final key with a little squeal of triumph.
"This is a fine time to be gossiping with your Ewok buddies,"
Han grumbled. But then, a loud crunching sound erupted all around them as the walls shook. Everyone stopped shooting. Even the Foro Snags halted their hopping charge and glanced around uneasily. Chewie moaned.
What did you..."
Han started, and then troopers at either end of the hallway screamed a collective desperate yelp and tumbled into darkness as the floor opened up beneath them and seemed to swallow them up. The next panel on each side slid open.
"Peekpa, you did it!"
Han yelled.
"Wait, what did you do?"
Peekpa started to explain in a fast-paced Ewokese tech spiel that was lost on everyone there. The Foro Snags adjusted their positions to better see what was happening. Another floor panel opened up on either side, then another.
"She sliced into the building itself,"
Aro said. The Foro Snags panicked a moment too late, launching into the air just as the floor opened up beneath them, and then howling as they realized there was nowhere to land. Each howl got quieter and quieter, ending in a juicy splat. The next two floor panels slid open. Han eyed the gaping openings wearily. There were only two left on either side of them.
You can stop it, though. Right, Peekpa?
Right, Dada!
Peekpa sniffled, already typing away madly. Whatever breach Chata meant, it sounded rude. Two more panels vanished with a whoosh. Han could make out wiring and some kind of toxic-looking fuzzy material shoved into a series of welded pipes. And then, just smoky darkness.
Any time now, Peekpa!
Chewie growled, pulling something out of his belt.
Grab on,
Han said.
To what?
Chewie muttered, as he screwed an attachment onto the tip of his bowcaster. Han cocked his head at Chewie.
To you? What?
The last two floor panels on either side of them swooshed out of existence, revealing more wiring, pipes, and a gaping void below. Peekpa cursed. Chewie shook his head and wrapped a long furry arm around Han and Aro, pulling them against his huge body. Peekpa wrapped herself in a tiny bear hug around Chewie's head.
Gah!
Han yelled. Chewie pointed his bowcaster up and shot a suction spike directly into the ceiling just as the floor opened up beneath them. Everyone yelled at once, barreling deeper and deeper into the darkness. Then the rope attached to Chewie's bowcaster pulled tight and jolted them to a halt.
Well, Han gulped. That was quick thinking, Chewie.
And here we are,
Aro said. Peekpa chirped what might have been an apology.
Where exactly might that be?
Han asked as they spun a slow circle. Tiny lights flickered in the vast expanse of darkness around them. Random drips and clicks sounded here and there, and occasionally the moans of the fallen troopers from below.
Somewhere between Subsector 5 and Subsector 12, I suppose,
Aro said.
What's below Subsector 12?
Aro chuckled uneasily.
A whole lot of bastaks, if you believe the rumors.
What's a...
A deep, wet-sounding growl echoed out of the darkness.
That is,
Aro said.
Chewie, can you get us down from here?
Chewie wondered with a grunt if Han was sure he wanted to do that, then just shook his head, and with a click, sent them all plummeting toward the floor. It wasn't quite as far as Han had feared, and their landing was cushioned with an unpleasant squish from one of the semi-splattered forosnags. Han stood, drew his blaster, scanned the darkness.
See anything?
Chewie was already up and glancing around. He shook his furry head and moaned. Something moved in the shadows, and then a snarling, dust and blood-caked forosnag limped toward them, shattered teeth dangling out of its open mouth.
These things eat blaster fire, and they never quit?
Han sighed. Aro and Peekpa scrambled to their feet and started backing away.
How do we get out of this place, Aro?
Han asked. The forosnag scrabbled another few clumsy, panting hops, and then something huge swooped out of the darkness with a growl and snatched it up.
That way!
Aro yelled, grabbing Peekpa and breaking into a run. A gnarled face emerged into the lit area above them. A pale blue shell, bristling with crusty growths, wrapped around it like a helmet, and swiveling antennae sprouted from its forehead. Four tiny eyes squinted down at Han and Chewie. Then its chitinous mouth seemed to unfold itself into a wide, toothy expanse as it howled into the darkness. The screech was transfixing. For a few seconds, Han stood there, stunned, as the waves of reverberating Bastak call seemed to wrap around him. A haunted, horrific siren song. It's not that it was pretty, just mesmerizing. The Bastak's four tiny eyes seemed to burrow into Han, holding him there as the howl wrapped around and around him. Something heavy landed on his shoulder. He brushed it away. Whatever it was, it couldn't be more important than that desperate call, cascading through the empty space. The heavy thing, oh, it was furry too, whacked his shoulder again. Ridiculous, really, that something would try to distract him when those four magnificent squinting eyes were getting closer and closer. Han was just able to make out the tiny stretch lines reaching across the Bastak's face, its carapace-lined brow furrowed with determination. What was that infernal barking sound, though? The speckled lines of fat bulging around its circular mouth. All those beautiful teeth. Han grunted as his back slammed against the cold floor with the full weight of Chewbacca on top of it. Chewie was yelling like a mad Wookiee, right in his face. And behind Chewie, something huge swung through the darkness. The Bastak! What had... Chewie was already yanking Han to his feet and shoving him out of the way as a huge clawed arm whooshed past them. Chewie cursed.
I'm going! Han yelled. I'm going!
Side by side, they ran toward the spot where Aro and Peekpa waited anxiously near a wide tunnel entrance. Behind them, a rumbling, crackling sound probably meant the Bastak was crunching over whatever was left of the troopers and their foro snags.
Why didn't you tell us Bastaks have a hypnotic call?
Han demanded.
I'm literally a middle management administrator from an archival building, Aro said. That's it. Knowing the intricacies of random giant carnivorous beasties is not in my job description, thank you very much. And maybe it should be if they live in your basement. Why did I get hypnotized and no one else?
Chewie growled his ignorance on the subject. Aro shrugged. Peekpa muttered something in Ewokese that sounded vaguely derogatory.
Well, if we don't know that, how are we supposed to keep from getting hypnotized again? We get out of here,
Aro said.
And fast!
They ducked into the tunnel where all was darkness, cut only by the shimmering reflections of faraway lights in the tiny stream running down its middle.
And by the way, Aro said, you're welcome for saving you back there.
Behind them, the Bastak howled again and started toward the tunnel. Han pulled out his comlink.
Lando!
He yelled over the increasingly loud howl.
Come in! Lando!
Only static came in reply.
Where is that guy?
Substation Grimdock. Now. Look, Lando said, his fingers still sliding up and down Kasha's Leku. I haven't... He sighed. Words were always there when he needed them to get out of a tight spot. They showed up when he beckoned. Sweet ones to smooth out the path. Rough ones that hinted at the certain violence he would commit if things didn't go his way. Words had always been Lando's allies. They glinted from his perfectly shined teeth, and with a little added umph from his rich voice in one direction or another, assured Lando would make himself clear about whatever it was that needed to be said. But now, just spit it out, Marcerine, Kasha whispered. You know you can talk to me.
See, Lando growled, throwing his arms up. That's the problem right there.
Wait. She reached up and brought his hand back to her Leku, then settled back in on his chest. Don't stop. Lando shook his head, his fingers resuming their duty as commanded.
Exactly that, Marcerine. Don't stop. How's a man supposed to...
He growled, and Kasha purred. He wrapped his arm around her back and pulled her up into a kiss.
Enough talk, Lando murmured into her lips. Let me try and see it another way.
The barracks door beeped and slid open. Taka poked their head in and gasped.
Woohoo! Twi'lek butt!
They don't knock where you're from,
Lando growled, pulling a sheet over himself and Kasha, who couldn't stop laughing.
Han's in trouble.
Lando jumped out of bed, leaving the sheet spread over Kasha.
What else is new?
Woohoo!
Taka yelled.
Human butt!
Yeah.
Lando pulled on dark blue stretch pants with a gold lining and then shoved both feet into his tall black boots. He hated getting dressed in a hurry, not being able to take the requisite time to truly enjoy the way each garment fell into place as the whole connected masterpiece came into focus.
Get us ready to move, Taka. I'm on my way.
Beside him, Kasha had risen and was sliding into her dark purple slip top. Lando managed to stay focused.
I already did,
Taka said.
That's not the problem.
What's the problem?
We have no idea where they are.
Well?
And neither do they.
You're being followed by a what?
Lando gaped into the comm. Han's out-of-breath reply came through mottled by static.
It's called a Bastak.
Don't look in their eyes,
Taka advised, maneuvering the Vermilion off the landing pad and taking it into a slow glide over the tops of the Grimdark prison complex.
Wait!
Han's scratchy voice yelled through the comm.
What?
Hold on!
Taka swerved between two fortified towers and then swung the ship low into a steel canyon.
Trying to stay out of sight of all those warships waiting for a fight to break out right above us.
Han's reply was unintelligible.
The Bastaks have a hypnotic siren call, but it only works if you make eye contact,
Taka said.
Kinda like that Mandalorian construction worker who used to hit on me on Strata 7, come to think of it.
Makes sense,
Han said after a staticky pause.
The first part, anyway.
Lando leaned over Taka's shoulder.
Do you have any way of finding out where you are?
Below Subsector 12. That's all I got. Right, Aro?
Who's Aro?
Lando asked.
Why are you always making friends?
He's a Gungan. He works here, so he knows a thing or two. But these basements, no one goes here. At least no one that anyone ever sees again. You need to access the building code somehow and find us that way.
Unfortunately, Lando started.
I know. We have the slicer with us. There's no signal down here, and certainly no ports for her to slice into.
All right, Lando said. I have an idea. Try not to get hypnotized by a giant crustacean in the meantime.
Easy for you to say,
Han said. It sounded like he was running again.
There's about a...
Static erupted over his voice, punctuated by yells and blaster fire. Then the line went dead. Taka shot Lando a worried look.
Keep flying low, Lando said. I'll be in the tech room.
Biggles! Lando yelled, banging on the cargo hold as he fast walked down the corridor.
Wake up, Piggo. We need your help.
A snorting grumble came from inside, and then the door zipped open. Lando was already down the hall, tapping in the security code for the tech room. Inside, DRX-7 still hung in pieces across the wall. Flork stumbled in, rubbing his eyes, and squealed a complaint.
Doesn't matter,
Lando said, surveying the scattered remnants of his protocol droid.
We need a droid.
Flork pointed out. Lando shook his head.
If he tries to kill me again, turn him back off. We've got to try the reboot again. We don't have any other choices right now. Or time. Now let's hop to it.
Flork snort muttered something, shook his head, and then shrugged, rolled up his sleeves, and picked up a flame spitter, revving it up.
There you go, Lando said, rolling his eyes. Now let me see about this wiring.
L3 had lectured Lando about droid anatomy once, years and years ago.
Anatomy,